Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, you know, just living the
It's
dream.
almost a very exciting day in your house, and I just want to know if you're prepared for it.
So it is almost our dog Zero's first birthday. I'm guessing that's what you mean.
Yes.
Okay. If not, I'm like, I don't know. Let me pee on a stick or something, and I'll let you
I just know things before you.
know. That's
It's almost
amazing.
Zero's first birthday.
It is. He went to daycare today, and he got a picture, which we're gonna have to put on the internet because
We
it's
absolutely will because it's very cute.
so ridiculous. He always looks like what I would imagine like a dog version of Oliver Twist looks like in every picture, which is just like a really intense close-up of his face.
Okay, but did you
This.
ever see that movie? It was Oliver, but it was a cat.
All dogs go to heaven.
No,
All
there's All
dogs.
Dogs Go to Heaven, which Zero does look like that dog.
Yeah, he does. I think
But
that dog was like a muddy German Shepherd dog.
yeah. No, but there was an Oliver. It's a cat. I'm gonna have to find it out.
I know the Aristocats. I don't know. I because I know
Look.
Beethoven. I was gonna say Beethoven was modeled after one of them. That's not accurate. No. Although he does look like our cartoon, but one of the cats on that was modeled after the Turkish Angora.
The kind of cat Beethoven is. Yeah.
Yeah, the barn
Beethoven's just
cat.
a bit too young.
Yeah, he wasn't quite there yet. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, so I'm in Colorado, which is very exciting.
You breathing all
And
right?
I am not as acclimated as I usually am, and it's upsetting me.
I also love that you took your car in and they were just like, oh, it's probably the altitude. And it's like, do you guys just blame everything that goes wrong on the altitude? It's
Yes,
like,
it also affects baking. So,
well, there you go. I think
yeah.
at some stage, Colorado may need to reflect on that they're all just drunks with the crappy cars and that can't cook. But, for now.
We're just too high up. But yeah, we're staying at my best friend Amanda's house, and she is walking her dog, and my dog is going to bark when they come back. So I'm just fair warning. I'm trying to
Okay.
put Penny into a vegetative state at the moment.
You have some sort of like hypnosis that you go
No,
through?
I wish I
And
did.
if
If you
so,
ever
can you
figure
please,
that
I know, please teach it to me immediately.
please send that to us. Hey,
Oh
this is Theology on the Rocks.
yeah. Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
I'm in North Carolina, so I'm on the East Coast. So it's proper drinking time for me.
It is.
For
It's a bit.
Christy, it's a little early, but
It's no, it's Colorado drinking time for me.
it's 5 o'clock somewhere, literally here. So
It's
you're
5 o'clock.
good.
Well, it's almost 5 o'clock here. We're real
Oh, well,
close to
it's.
it.
Oh, never mind. We're really into drinking time here on the OEST. So,
Hey,
yeah, what
I
are we
believe I
drinking
was the
today?
one who was excited about drinking a margarita at 10 a.m. So
You were. Oh, that was the greatest moment. Anytime anyone's like, Leah, I don't know about the drinking, I'm gonna be like, look, I was at Dollywood and was kind of okay with it being dry. And then all of my friends looked at me like I was supposed to like raise the call
I was so
to
sad.
war. And I was like, it was like you and one of the Tampa girls was like,
Irma,
y'all,
yeah.
yeah, she looked at y'all looked at me like, well, are you gonna fight? And I was like, I mean, who? I don't
We
know.
were just devastated. We really wanted a margarita at 10 a.m.
You did. And you're just like, can you believe it? And I was like, no, but I was so much on the like, and you guys out there who've been on group trips will know that you sort of get into a mindset of just like, well, I'll just do whatever, like,
Yes.
and so I was in that mindset of like, I'm just following
You're just following the
whatever.
lead. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, that's the brand. Dollywood, they all have margaritas. I love the
That's how
idea
this trip.
too that you wanted a very specific thing, but like you would struggle to get maybe even in Disney World if you're just like, all I want is a margarita.
Margaritas at Disney World. Well, at Epcot.
I know, but you have to probably like, I don't know, like Google it or something. I mean,
I mean, I think
maybe
it's, well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know
they
if they
just
have
give out
margaritas at
margarita. Like, there's like a Disney, there's Mickey. He's just giving margaritas out on
It's just like, here you go.
the It's like me at Halloween. I always set up a table for the adults and the kids.
I know, so your Halloween setup is fantastic.
The kids get candy and the parents who look like they want to fall in a hole ground get a shot. And I was at first, I was, because I saw it being done elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, maybe my neighborhood is not the right hood for that. I don't know, that it was in the art district. Maybe we're not cool enough. No, come to find out, parents want shots all the time.
Parents do want shots. I mean, I think you're in the exact right neighborhood for that setup.
Because I was just like, ooh, well, like maybe they'll be like disrespected. No, they're just, they clean me out.
I've seen the pictures. Your place is the best place on the block.
I'm basically in a holding pattern now since our birthdays have happened until October. This is just the in-between time.
Ooh, speaking of October.
Yeah. I don't know.
Theology Beer Camp.
Good segue.
Just keep in mind, if you want to join us, we have a promo code, ROCKSGODPOD. And you can find it on our Instagram. And you get $25 off.
Support women podcasters.
Yeah.
Support first generation women podcasters. None of this is a lie so far.
Support this baby podcast and come join us. Leah's going to karaoke.
Oh, please, Christy. Leah's going to do it. Leah and Christy are going to do it. And we're going to karaoke. Oh, and do some like academic stuff too.
Yeah. There will be some theology talk.
Apparently, Trippa said the Redneck Margarita might make an appearance.
The Redneck Margarita. Maybe Tripp can teach
us. Or Martini, rather.
Maybe Tripp can teach us how to properly make that.
I don't think that exists. But maybe this man will save us in time to make a martini. That's so gross. Perhaps it's possible. Perhaps. So a segue into what we're drinking today. But yes, please, guys, use our promo code. I do want to emphasize that.
Yes, use our promo code. Come
We get benefits from it if you do. And it'll make us, you know, happy.
It's a good way of showing your love for us, really.
And you get money off. So
you do get money off.
And we can guarantee drinking, some theology, fun, and us.
That's all I can guarantee. Lots of people coming. Lots of very exciting people coming. So
there's a lot of exciting people coming. And a lot of people come. I went last year and I was not that I don't trust Tripp's hustle, but I was pleasantly surprised by how many people actually go to this. It's a big situation. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. I haven't been before, so I'm really excited to see what this is all about. And
there you go.
You made me really jealous last year. So
I mean, I tried to get you to go, but you just said, Colorado or Florida. I don't know.
I think I said I have to work.
Oh. Well, whatever. It's my first semester.
I was like, I just started here. I don't know what's happening.
I don't want to get fired, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever. Anyway.
Our drink this week.
Yes.
It is almost reminiscent of that redneck martini, but it is a real drink instead of whatever is happening in Tripp's head.
Or the North Carolina firefighters, I think is where you're North Carolina
firefighters. Friend of the podcast and follower Bryant Burkhart was kind to. I don't know if you guys remember when my mom put Twizzlers in her wine because she thought it wasn't sweet enough. He wrote and gave us this recipe, and it's actually like a cocktail in Spain, and I'm probably not going to say it right, but it's a Calimocho. And it's red wine and Coca-Cola. So we're going to give this a go this week and see how
it compares. I feel confident about which one do we put in first. Is this like the tea bag in the UK? Like something is supposed to go first?
I put the wine in first. So you should put the Coke in first and then we can compare. Okay.
The Coke is going in. So the background on the UK thing is people get really particular in the UK about whether you like put the tea bag or the hot water in first or second. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah, anyway, they get really particular about the milk. They're very snotty about their milk.
I know, and they act like it's not a big deal. I remember when I was making some for my mother-in-law and I was so nervous. I was like, this feels important because it feels like a test. It's like a UK test.
Was it before you got married?
Oh, yeah. And, but it was so casual. But I just knew there was a lot riding. It was like Game of Thrones, but tea style. Like, all right.
If you do this wrong.
Right. If you do this wrong, then you can't get married. Which is totally made up in my head, by the way. But still. So, okay. Well, I did it.
Are you ready? Well, cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to this.
Cheers to this.
Oh, I do want to. Well, okay. Well, I'll drink.
Mm-mm. Oh, that's not bad.
Mm-mm. I can tell the Spanish kind of. It's like sangria.
It is like sangria.
Yeah.
It's like a really easy version of sangria. Oh, no. This is dangerous.
Oh, no. I'm just, oh, Bryant, what have you done?
Bryant.
It's like,
I trusted like, you.
We trusted you to make us things that we like kind of, but won't recreate.
I'm definitely going to be drinking this more often.
Oh, I'm going back for seconds. I even had a story, but this is how good it is.
I was going to say, how is it with your wine?
It makes it way better. So here's the deal. I have to tell a story about this wine. So this wine I got in Dollywood or in Pigeon, whatever, Gallenberg. We're going to say Gallenberg. Pigeon Forge, yeah. Maybe. Anyway.
We were in Sevierville.
Sevierville, yeah, which they thought was hilarious. But, I mean, how can you teach these people things? You know, Louisville is Louisville. I don't know why you thought Sevierville was Sevierville.
It's the severe part that was throwing me. The vole part I understood.
Well, listen, you can take the girls out of the north, but anyway, so there's a special kind of situation where you're at a wine tasting or something like that, and you start thinking, this is good. What I'm drinking is good. Because it's probably like, so the wine tasting / moonshine.
If it was the moonshine and wine tasting.
That we got, so we went to like 5 or 6 or something. Mm. By the third one, I was like, you know what? This all is pretty good. I'm enjoying this. So.
I want to say congratulations for being the only one who bought wine. Because.
Yeah.
The rest of us all bought moonshine while we were having these same thoughts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was born in Tennessee, don't tell anyone, but like I knew that. I mean, well, I don't know. The flavors weren't like oatmeal.
I got an oatmeal cookie one.
Oh. I was just picking one that I thought sounded like vomit.
That's the one I bought myself, which I haven't had since, so I can't tell you anything about it. I bought my brother just a straight one.
Oh, no.
Like original moonshine.
No.
And I gave it to him. And then I saw him a couple of days ago. And I was like, have you tried the moonshine? And he was like, yes. And I said, is it good? And he just looked at me and goes, no.
I mean, it's not moonshine, but honestly, it's probably worse because it's like regulated moonshine.
It probably is.
The real moonshine that I've...
like gasoline, might as well not drink it.
Right. The real moonshine, too, always has some lovely, like, accoutrements. So it'll be, like, in a mason jar with, like, whatever your, like, cousin from the mountains decided to put in it. So, like, the last one I had was cherries or something, but it had giant cherries in it. I was like, oh, okay, so this is
that was good. I liked that one.
Yeah, the fruit ones helped it a lot, yeah. But the oatmeal.
I mean, I say I liked that one, but that was like the last stop we were at, so I can't tell you if that's true.
Well, that feeds into this story, is that by the third winery or even the fourth, I was like, you know what? And then we'd made friends with people. We were on this bus, and oh, I was making friends. It was so fun. And like we were just, it's like gambling. You're just, I'll buy some wine. I'll buy this Indian summer is what it's called. And no offense to the winery at all, because we're going to put this on the internet. But yeah. Like I got home and I poured myself a glass bowl Indian summer in the harsh light of day. And man, it hit different.
It was different, huh?
It was real different. And it was bubbly, which, if you know, is not what I drink at all, ever. So it was bubbly and insanely sweet, which are both two of the things I don't
two things eat. You hate in wine.
And I just, for some reason, I'm like, what version of Leah thought, you know, this is the one?
I can tell you what version of Leah it was. It was the same version of Christy that thought to herself, you know what I need to have at home is moonshine that's flavored like an oatmeal cookie.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. It's, I, yeah, I think, well, we look, the moral of the story is when you mix this wine with Coca-Cola,
it's good.
I mean, it's better.
Well, that's good. That's really all you were going for.
I mean, I would drink this and will now, but yeah. I probably wouldn't without the Coke.
You know how to get through the rest of that bottle now.
It lasted so much longer than any other bottle of wine has ever lasted in this house. To the point, Stuart was like, I noticed it's still half there. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, just pointing it out.
And I was like, okay. Like, is there something I need to know?
Are you sick? But yes, no, I'm enjoying this very much.
This is very tasty. All right. Well, thank you, Bryant, for
making our lives nicer this week, because I think we both needed it.
We both needed this. We did. I also needed to know that somebody was going to recommend something that A, was not incredibly complicated, and B, was going to be good.
Yeah, a new drink every week, come to find out, it's kind of expensive on us teacher's salary.
It is. Also, some people have been sending us stuff, and I think to myself, I don't even know what these words mean.
No, I know. Well, you'll forward them to me. She'll send them to me, or I'll look at them, and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know how to make this.
I didn't even know what went into a martini.
I mean,
I had to borrow vodka from my neighbor.
You did.
Which I was like, so you know the whole sugar thing? That's not this. That's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. I need to borrow a cup of vodka.
I just knew I'd never drink it again. And come to find out, I haven't.
That vodka is still sitting in my freezer. I don't know what to do about it. I'll figure it out.
Beer camp, that is what I would suggest.
Well, beer camp, which I also, as you all are excited to join us at beer camp, we have to decide what drink we're making there.
Ooh, yeah, yes.
In front of people. I can only imagine.
Oh, yes. And if it could not be, that would be amazing.
No, it can't be beer related.
Sorry, guys.
I'm a huge
disappointment. But yeah, we're going to do a live podcast. And you guys should also tell us who out of the God Pod folks or the speakers that we should have on our live podcast.
Yeah, we'll take some, send in your ideas and your votes and suggestions, but we'll also take some polls when it gets closer.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So today, Christy and I decided, other than talking about our winery, and there's some excellent pictures, by the way, at the end of that tour.
There's some excellent
of Christy and I. Actually, there's a picture of Christy and I that you put up on the 4th. That was after the first moonshine tasting that was happening at noon. And I was like, ugh. Because that man, bless him, you know, he was funny as, but like, he just went around the table and just kept filling it up.
He just wanted, we had a great time, but we also had an incredible amount of moonshine.
Oh gosh, I had to take a walk after that one you gave your brother. You gave him the straight one?
I gave him the straight one.
Oh,
because he's always, there's like a big moonshine thing here in Colorado too. And he's always like, oh, I got this moonshine, blah, blah. But he like doesn't like the flavored ones. Or at least I thought that when I was several moonshines in.
He doesn't like the flavored ones. Well, he sure is. The flavored ones made it way better.
Who knows what the truth is, but he told me that what he's going to do.
He may not like moonshine.
It may be a lie. Entirely possible. What he's going to do is save it for when his friends come over and they've already had some other drinks. Okay. And then they're like, what can we drink next? And then he's just going to be like, here you go.
It's an end of the night situation.
Yeah. It's an end
it's
of
not
the
a
night.
12 p.m. situation. I can tell you that for sure. Or a 2 p.m. or a 4 p.m. or a 6 p.m. on repeat.
I did have to bring back a lot of the girls who bought moonshine live here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And because I was driving, I brought all of it back here. And I was pretty proud of myself because I felt like I was like honoring my grandfather, who was an actual bootlegger and drove moonshine.
To a place where like weed and mushrooms are illegal.
I was like, yes, this is amazing.
No, that is an amazing background story. I'm sure there was illicit activities in my Tennessee relatives, but I don't know many of them. Probably actually full circle involving moonshine.
Probably.
My dad was on a motorcycle once in the mountains in North Georgia and almost got decapitated because when they still do the moonshine stills up there. And they'd put barbed wire at like head length.
Oh.
So you just like run into it. And so,
no, that's terrible.
Yeah, he was on a motorcycle and almost got his head cut.
Number 732, why motorcycles are bad news.
And also why you should stay off the mountains.
Also, don't wander into those smoky mountains. Also because of the skinwalkers that I was alerted to after we got back. And I was like, oh no.
What is the skinwalker?
I don't feel qualified to tell you about that.
Okay, well, I'm going to scared wiki that later.
Yep.
I saw a bear, but I didn't know about the skinwalkers. Anyway, so our guys, enough about Dollywood.
I know, okay? Enough. We will move past this great adventure.
We are like a dysfunctional advertisement for Dollywood right now. We did the weirdest things, so this is why you should go. So our week that we thought we'd talk about, which we've been wanting to for a while, and it really hits on, because we've done some practical stuff for my part of the world, but one thing that I always wish I had done, which I put on my little survey, and that Christy does do, is literature and theology, literature, and the arts. I forgot that, yes. That key word. And so it's all that Coca-Cola is getting to my head. So we thought this week we would talk about, we've been really impressed lately with television shows, and Christy actually has written a chapter recently on a television show in theology, and also did a paper where she taught me all about a television show and theology at AR. Yeah. And so we thought we would talk about those. And I had an idea.
Okay.
Where we would like take them like maybe like the our number one in different categories. So
ooh,
so like there's sci-fi and like fantasy, which I think almost I would say is into theology or anti-theology if you're like
absolutely.
And then you have documentaries, which I think are becoming increasingly popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have what I would say, you could argue anything in theology is fantasy. I mean, I was in a department where that was argued. But let's take it, I think another category could be like ones that aren't trying to be theological, but like kind of are. And then finally, ones that are like about the church.
Oh, yes. I have to add a category onto this, though.
Yeah, because, for sure.
It's one that I'm actually currently looking into, and it's quote unquote like trash TV.
Okay. Reality TV or
either reality TV or like Lifetime original movies or whatever stuff that you don't really give credit to that actually might have something to say, which I think given that today is the opening day of Barbie and Oppenheimer, or is it tomorrow? I don't remember. And Oppenheimer and the whole discussion about like who's going to see which movie and all of that.
Yeah, how did that become a thing of like one or the other? I want to see both of them.
Going to see both of them. Also, so far, all of our Instagram followers are going to see both of them. So, yeah.
Well, there we go. That's settled then. Glad we worked through it.
But yeah, okay, cool.
So do we want to start with the trash or do we want to start
Let's start with the top. Let's start with this piece of sci-fi.
Fantasy. Yeah.
Sci-fi fantasy. Okay. You go first.
Okay. I have really enjoyed, most of you will know that my husband's really big into the Star Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've enjoyed watching some of the new Star Wars TV shows that have come out, like The Mandalorian, of course, everyone knows because of Baby Yoda and all of that. But I think those movies and the TV shows are really saying a lot about world religions, like actually quite a mix of different world religions, but also theology at its core and this idea of sort of the dark side and what makes you come to the dark side. And, you know, there's this great scene with that gets replayed. Okay, let me go ahead and say at the top of this, this is full of spoilers. So if we say TV show, we're going to give you a second to fast forward if you've not seen it. So the TV show is Obi-Wan Kenobi. But there's this scene where he's remembering about talking to Hayden Christensen, who will become Darth Vader later on, and how he was supposed to be the one that brought balance to the Force, but he got lured to the dark side. And he's just clearly so disappointed in himself and also, you know, the whole situation. And he's like yelling at him. It was in the first of the movies, if you saw it, but they repeat it in this TV show. And he's just like, you were supposed to, it's just this, of course it's Ewan McGregor, who I have a major crush on. Don't tell Stuart.
Don't tell Stuart. Stuart also has a crush on him. It's fine.
I mean, he's Scottish, so it's, or is he Northern? Well, whatever. He's British. Yeah, anyway, he's Scottish. McGregor. He's Scottish, right?
He's Scottish.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we might be doing an I'm so freaking sorry next week.
I know. If he's Northern Irish, I'm sorry. No, I'm thinking Northern Irish. Okay. Similar, but different. But Ewan McGregor, he just puts on this really powerful sort of emotional thing of like, and you can tell he has to try to destroy Hayden Christensen because he knows what he's going to become, but that it's like killing him to do it because he knows that like this was supposed to be, it's a very savior-esque sort of story that, but instead of the savior coming and like making everything right, it's actually the dark, he goes to the dark side because of a series of events that happen. And then you get, you know, the Skywalkers and all of that stuff that come. But so it's an interesting sort of, I think it plays into the mythology of like the devil and, you know, angels or Jesus or wherever you want to go with that. So I think it's pretty good. Yeah,
I do too. Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of conversations. There's a Lexington Press does a series on pop culture and theology. And I know they have a Star Wars one, volume on Star Wars. So I have not actually seen any Star Wars except for the first movie.
You are not going to shock me because I told you I had seen them in college and untold, do not remember them. And I only when I got with Stuart did I watch the whole thing. And I will say, worth the hype.
I mean, it's not that I'm against seeing them anymore. I think I was
It's an investment.
I do think it's the kind of thing that I have to be able to see with somebody who's willing to watch them with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a keynote because the first one that I did see, my friend Michael Stark made us watch. And I there were like a bunch of us and I was like, I just wasn't taking it very seriously. And then I was disinvited to watch the rest of them.
Youch. Ouch.
So, yeah, like somebody is gonna need to like help me through. I don't like space. I don't do great with space. So.
I didn't either. But Doctor Who would be another one.
And Star Trek.
I watched that growing up. Yep.
My friend again, Michael Stark, is a big Trekkie, and he wrote a book about theology and Star Trek. But again, pop culture and theology also has a volume on that. So like, I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff in this kind of space world. And I think that you're right. The space world, the world of space.
I know this space world that you speak of.
I think there's a lot to be said. I think that it's sometimes really helpful to remove some of the things that are like preset for our world. And then you have a better way of entering into conversations about, like you said, darkness and light and kind of who we are as humans and things like that. I mean, I think those are really excellent examples. And again, I know there's a ton of work out there on it too.
Oh yeah. Cause you get like Lord of the Rings and all of that. Yeah. I mean, some of it's a little on the nose. I think Star Wars is not quite there. You have to search a little bit and put together the story a little bit
more. Yeah. Well, I think it's helpful that, like, I mean, Lord of the Rings is going to be a little on the nose because of who it's coming from.
Yep.
Whereas Star Wars is not necessarily.
No, they just stole a bunch from, like, Asian religions and the monotheistic religions. Yes. But, like, it's fine. They just mixed it all together into a story. So
you're just like, this works.
And a billion dollars later.
Yep, it worked out well for them, but also for us, because I think, and this is part of why I do it, I think that there's a lot to be said for people who don't want to necessarily read like heavy theological works, but do consume these types of media and are, and like you can open those doors and saying like, here, let's talk about these things or use them for examples and stuff like that. Which is usually what I'm doing with my work. It's like, here's how to see this doctrine or this idea in theology through a TV show or a movie or something. Which is what I did. Well, I'm just going to jump into mine.
Yeah.
I wrote a chapter, it's still for the pop culture and theology or pop culture and theology series, on Lost. And controversially, I really like the finale episode.
That's our trip is based on.
It's based on
that you liked the finale just like me.
There are a few of us out there. I am one of them. And kind of adamantly.
Spoiler alerts for Lost.
Yes, heavy spoiler alerts for Lost. I won't give all of it away, but what I really liked in the last episode was the focus is on two things. One is the importance of the time that they were on the island and the kind of emphasis that the island was not purgatory like people thought it was, but that the island was like this incredibly meaningful time for those people, which I think directly relates to the idea that our lives on this earth are incredibly meaningful and the kind of evangelical belief and the saying that a lot of them kind of throw out to make an argument end when they say, well, life is short and eternity is long. That the idea there is that our lives don't matter and that this is just a stopgap or a time we have to get through before we're where we're supposed to be. And Lost really emphasizes that that's not true. That the island was important and meaningful and it mattered. And similarly, our current lives on this earth are important and meaningful and matter. And we need to not overshadow that with this concern or overemphasis on eternity.
Christy, you sound like a practical theologian if I ever did hear one. I'll convert you. Yeah.
Hey, it's because I think that all theology is both systematic and practical.
We'll work on that one. But that's okay. Also, were they not in purgatory? I thought that was sort of the whole like they
not on the island. No,
they died on the plane though, right?
No, they didn't. They died.
They died on the island.
So everything on the island was real and important. It's the sideways timeline that's kind of the purgatory.
I'm with you. I knew there was some element of that there.
Yeah. And so when they all come back together, and this is the second thing that I thought Lost really emphasized through the whole series, but especially in the finale, was that the idea of community was really important. and that they all needed to be together to kind of be reconciled, to be restored as a group, in order to like go on to the next place, which again, I think has a ton of theological themes.
We have to go back. Heart-wrenching.
Ugh.
And she's just like, you can go right the hell and back.
She's like, absolutely not. He's got a beard.
I know. I love that they try to emphasize that he's gone crazy because he got a beard.
You know a man is crazy when he has a beard, apparently.
He got a beard, guys. Live in Charlotte or Denver or anything, you're all crazy.
Every man in either of these cities, absolutely crazy.
I love that show, and I did love the ending. It's been a while since I watched it in real time, actually. So it's been whenever it ended. I don't know what year it ended, but that would be when
it was 2000. I think it was 2010 when it ended.
I'm rewatching it with Stuart, because he's never seen it.
Which, how's it going? How's he enjoying it?
We've hit a bit of a roadblock that sometimes happens with shows. Because I think I told you what season it was.
Yeah.
It's the start of the flash forward, or the flash.
The side.
Forward. Well, forward? when they're off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the flash forwards. Yeah.
And I think for him, you know, I think people either. Well, sometimes they get lost in the flashes. I think the flashes were too much for some people. And I don't think it's him specifically. Like, I think it's just that it's like, okay, where is this? I think at that point people started saying, like, you don't actually know what you're doing, which clearly they had a very clear idea of what they were doing.
They did have a very clear idea. I think that sometimes, in the middle bits, like the third and fourth season, I think they were still wrestling with the network because obviously it was so popular. And
the writer's strike
happened. And then the writer's strike happened, which solidarity to the current writers and actors strike. And UPS almost, I think that's next week. So there were a couple of things because the network wanted them to go like indefinitely. And the writers were like, no, we need to end it. We need to have an endpoint. And I think more shows now are doing that and saying we need to have an endpoint. We don't want to just indefinitely string this out just because people like it. But back then that was not as common. But those two seasons are a little bit rough.
They are a little bit. I mean, they are. But I think part of it too is like you can go. So my favorite show of all time, which I could have put into this category, but didn't seem as like clear, is Twin Peaks. And it only had up until the new reboot, it only had two original seasons. And that's because the network wanted them to string it out. And David Lynch said, who's the director, was like, the network wanted him to tell the secret, spoilers for Twin Peaks, of who killed Laura Palmer at the end of the first season. And he didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because he said, like, this whole series hinges on that question. I mean, the very first scene, the homecoming queen gets washed up on shore, and then it's this town, you know. And so he actually did the opposite, where he just walked away. He was like, if you make me do this, then. And so that is why it's one of these cherished series. They did a second one with Mark Frost, but like it wasn't the same because Lynch wasn't at the helm of it, but because the mystery was lost. You found out and you're just like, oh,
why am I watching this now?
Right.
Yeah.
So you can go, you can string it out, and then you can also go too early if you want to. I was about to be vulgar, but you can.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay. So the next category was shows that are, again, whatever, if your view is of not that you're not religious, all of this is fantasy. but if you are, what is a show that was not categorized as like fantasy or sci-fi that you think was really interesting theologically?
Okay, let me think about this for a second.
I can go if you want me to, because I was thinking about this in the car.
You go first.
So this is going to be a little controversial because people would say, oh, this is completely fantasy. I'm going to say The Good Place.
I was just going to say that one. I was like, does this count or not? It is the best religious show ever.
It's so interesting. It asks such interesting questions. But here's the reason why I wouldn't categorize it in the sci-fi fiction. Not because it's based in like some afterlife, which you could argue is, or that there's, you know, characters that are fantastical in it. Right. I think they treat it very much like you're just watching a sitcom, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And for that, I think it fits in that category because it's just like, you are just watching this all play out like it's real life, you know?
I think though, I totally agree with you. I don't necessarily think of it as a fantasy show, which is why I was thinking about it. But I also feel like it is an incredible look at not only like ideas of religion, but like how religion plays out in our actual culture, like how a lot of people think about The Good Place or heaven.
And spoilers for The Good Place coming up, but that last scene with her and him,
I can't remember
their characters' names, but when he's talking about like the ocean,
I never stopped crying.
You've not seen it,
one of the most beautiful scenes in the world.
It's so beautiful. And like the decisions they have to make at the end of basically, it's just, you know, I think that's it too, is that even though they were in, well, again, spoiler, but they were in the bad place, even though they thought they were in the good place, which is kind of, you find that out in the first season, I think. Yeah. They have to make these incredibly difficult decisions at the end of the show that will ultimately put them into different spaces.
Yeah.
They can, I think at one stage, what's his face goes back to Earth even. So it's like,
goes back to Earth to like live as a human. Yeah. It's so cute. I had also, not terribly long before I saw the finale of that, I had put my dog down and I just like, I remember him saying the wave returns to the ocean. And I felt like it was one of the most healing moments I'd had. Because I was like, I could really like empathize with that moment. Oh, it's so good. I talk about The Good Place in my classes when I'm teaching Zoroastrianism.
Oh, nice.
What's
the connection you make?
The point system that they have is really kind of on par with how Zoroastrianism talks about whether you end up in the good or the bad place. Like
they show it like you're like a playing card or something, don't they?
Like, yeah.
They're like, you add this and this and this.
So many points. Like you get like negative so many points for going to a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert. And I think that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I'm making no comment. I don't need the Foo Fighters wrath in their wrath upon me.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, okay, so my pick, I have come up with it, is a recent one that was on Hulu called The Patient.
Ooh, I have not seen this.
Okay, so I'm not gonna give a lot of spoilers because I don't think a lot of people have seen this, but it is probably one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Oh.
It's got Steve Carell and
was this the one where he's the psychiatrist?
He's a psychiatrist, and Domhnall Gleeson, this is in the first episode, Domhnall Gleeson kidnaps him. Steve Carell's character is Jewish, and so there are quite a few episodes that really talk about his faith, and he's not like an extremely, like he's a Reformed Jew, and he wasn't like extremely practicing, but then his son becomes Orthodox. So there's a lot about faith and specifically Judaism and things like that play in. And it is, I mean, Steve Carell's best work, I think. It is really hard to watch, like prepare yourself. But it is.
How many seasons is it?
It's just one season, and it's just one, like I don't think they're doing a second, I don't know how they would do a second one.
So everyone dies. Thanks.
No. I'm not terribly many episodes. But it's so, so good. And the question of like hope and questions of humanity. And oh my goodness, it just, it touches on so many things. It's a fantastic show.
And I think that's that. No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I just think it's so filled with many, many theological questions.
I mean, I think that's the brilliance of literature, theology, and the arts, and that sort of whatever category or whatever it's called where you are. But this mm-hmm. idea of that, it feeds into practical theology, actually, but the idea that we're able to connect to things more, I guess, honestly, and also mm-hmm. able to emotionally connect with art. And yeah. I guess people knew that from the beginning, and that's why liturgy exists and why hymns exist. But like,
and why in these this stories and parables, like,
yeah,
I mean, just we don't do well with bullet points, you know.
I'm sorry to my students.
I am sorry to my students as well. I apologize all the time.
I wish I could play you a movie for this, but I can't. That's not they. I mean, I could, but that's not what they pay me for, unfortunately.
I know. I might get in trouble if I was just like constantly like, here's another movie.
The rolling in of the these kids will never know the delight of,
I know, the of TV rolled. Being rolled into the classroom. Ugh, those are the best days.
Unless, as I spoke about on Homebrew Christianity, it was the miracle of life, in which case that was a bad day.
Look, I went to a Christian high school and we watched two movies at least once a semester for the entire 4 years I was there. One was Chariots of Fire and the other was Glory.
Jeez.
And I never want to see either of those movies ever again in my life.
Is Glory not the one with is it about the Civil War?
It is. It's about the Black Regiment in the Civil War. Denzel Washington, I think, is in it.
Denzel Washington, yeah.
It's a good movie.
I love that they're like critical race theory and we were just sitting there watching
Glory. Oh yeah.
It's like, no, we got it.
I know, like, y'all raised us better than you think you did.
I know, I was gonna say, what did you think was going on when I learned about Georgia history?
Mom, which all I listened to when I was growing up was Johnny Cash and the Beatles. Like, what did you think was gonna happen?
I mean, our Georgia history was basically like, there were a colony. There was a colony there. And then it was like, and then there was the Civil War. And it's like, oh, okay. Oh, and we do peaches. Congratulations. Which I'm not allergic to. Don't worry. But, okay. So the next category then is...
Documentaries. Is that
documentaries,
right?
Documentaries. Yeah. Which are on the rise.
They are. Oh, my goodness. I watched a fascinating documentary just this past week. It's called Vatican Girl.
Ooh.
It is about a girl that went missing. She lived in the Vatican.
Is it real?
It's real. It's a real story.
Oh wait, documentary. Never mind.
Documentary. Yeah. It's on Netflix. And apparently I don't know a lot about the Vatican, so I'm very sorry for how Protestant I am, but people do live there, not just the Pope. So she's one of the girls who grows up in the Vatican, and she disappeared. Yeah, it was in 1983. She disappeared. She like was supposed to go to like choir practice or something. Disappeared. They've never solved the mystery, but a lot of it revolves around abuse and kind of problems going on in the upper echelon of the Catholic Church. And it's only four episodes. It's an interesting documentary. Some of it's a little bit not...
Let's just say trigger warnings. I haven't seen it, and I'm just going to say, I would assume there's a pretty rainbow trigger warnings situation.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. They also interview a couple of people that I'm like, this was a little bit of a waste of time.
I once walked past her in the hallway. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really interesting kind of look at especially it was Pope John Paul the third, second, I don't know. Again, apologies for my Protestantism. Penny's mad about my Protestantism.
I thought that was your stomach.
That was my dog. She groans when she's mad at me.
I mean, she's mad that you don't know more about the Catholic
Church. She's like, how did you not pay enough? No, but it's John Paul something. And he was the one that somebody tried to assassinate him.
I think it's the second. I mean,
I think it's the second, yeah.
I don't know that we've gotten to the third yet, but
I mean, again, there's been surprisingly few, right?
I'm also Protestant, so don't hold me. We're just building up our so freaking sorry corner.
We really are. I'm sorry. Right? I don't have any ultra Catholic friends, so I can't. Anyway, yeah, it was really interesting look at the Roman Catholic Church and kind of how that operates, especially with the Vatican being its own country. And how
I feel
the Vatican.
I listened to a podcast about this girl. Did someone like call her parents or something?
Yeah, she got. Yes. They call them the American. The American call her parents, and they're like,
"We have the girl, or whatever.
We have her." There's a whole bunch of different theories, and one of them has to do with the guy that tried to kill the Pope. One of them has to do with this American. One of them has to do with.
I listened to a podcast about
the actual.
That I've never seen. I've never.
There's a theory that one of the cardinals is the reason she's missing.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, if I've learned anything from true crime, it's usually someone you know.
It's always someone you know.
Deeply intimate knowledge of the upper echelons of the Catholic Church, then I would think it probably is like her neighbor.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, it seems like, given she lived in the Vatican.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What was going on there? Why does it have to be the Pope as well? Why can't it be like just like the dude who plays the organ? I don't understand. It's always.
I mean, it was either this guy who tried to assassinate him, it was either the American who.
Just any of us. Any of us.
Yeah. just a whole country of people, or it was a particular cardinal that they never mention his name. They don't like tell you which cardinal or anything, but
okay.
Yeah,
that's very, very. They've done some extensive police work there. Then
it's been decades, Leah. They should have more information. They dug up a tomb. It was crazy.
Yes, yes, this is the same one.
Yeah.
And God bless our police force. I think that's what they came up with. That's a lot of, and also what, did they ever, okay, can you tell me this? Did they ever find her body?
No.
Don't even know if she's dead.
Well, they do think that she's dead because apparently there's some kind of evidence that she was alive in London for about 14 years. But then they think that she died at that point. And I don't know. Leah, there were so many theories. It was really hard to keep track.
Could you please set me up a bullet point of what is happening?
I'm going to make a pie chart or some kind of chart. I haven't made a chart since high school, so it's going to be bad.
What? I mean, I don't think it could be. I know what you need to do is maybe one of those boards that they always have on like Criminal Minds, which is like just for the strings attached.
Or and I'll do the one like Charlie Day on Always Sunny. I'll like, it's just going to be
the
red thread everywhere. Yes.
But also I just want the whole country of the United States to be one string.
it
goes straight to the top. So the documentary that I watched recently, and this is like not going to shock anyone, is The Shiny Happy People. Have you seen that?
Yeah. That one. Oof.
Yeah. So this one was, I actually, and I think you were similar, you said, but I can't remember. I didn't grow up watching the Duggars.
No, I didn't
because they had a bunch of kids. And
it was horrifying to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was the time of, like, Octomom and all of that, so I feel like we were all just, like, desensitized by people having a bunch of kids anyway. And so I just was like, okay, whatever. And I grew up in the South, so it's like, oh, look at you. Congratulations. had like 18 kids. Well done.
Yeah. Having children. I don't understand why we're glorifying this.
Right. TLC. But speaking of, I had watched Sister Wives though. So like I wasn't not a participator. And I actually rewatched Sister Wives from the very beginning. Which, you know, in my infinite spare time. And there's like 16 or 18 seasons. I don't know. We're not even, it's in the teens anyway.
That's a lot.
I know. It is quite right. It was a lot of hours of my life I will never get back. But I will say, so I'd watched it through. And then anyway, so that's a really interesting one to watch. Again, we don't want to glorify these shows or anything, but the Duggars, I had not heard about. I'd heard about, but I didn't know about. And then this documentary is really going into, it's about them-ish, but it's really about the basic life IBLP, the Institute of Basic Life Principles, which is like this offshoot. Some might call it a cult. You know, sociology has criteria that you can look at and decide for yourself.
I might be making an educated statement there.
Yeah, exactly. I would say yes, but that is my opinion. So it's really about that and that group and sort of what they did. And have you seen it? Yeah,
I did. Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, I was both shocked and not shocked at the same time.
Yeah.
It shocked me the most isn't that existed. It isn't that the Duggars existed. It's not that a Bill Gothard or whatever existed, or any of those, you know, people who are messing up and doing bad theology, like pretty intensely and violently and severely and damagingly. Just making up these LY words. And the fact that they put it on TV, like, I think that was like a real, like, they knew.
They did.
That's something that you hear throughout the documentary, is that basically, I think it was TLC or Discovery or something, and they knew, like, that this was happening and that some stuff was going on.
And they just didn't care.
They just didn't care.
Yeah. It's so telling. And it's something I think that is a problem in a lot of areas currently, especially with evangelical circles, especially some of the more fundamentalist ones, of like, we're going to talk about certain sins as being, you know, the kind that completely keep you from God. But then these other sins that are in our lives, we can just sweep those under the rug. Don't worry about those things. And just the hypocrisy of it all. And also like the lack of self-reflection.
And also I went on a deep dive, which again, happens from time to time, and the nature of research, but I think Jill Duggar, and again, I might be wrong, but I think it's because they all have freaking J names, but I think it was Jill that was on the documentary a lot. And
I feel like that's right.
I went to her Instagram because, you know, I was just like, okay, like, let's see what semblance of a normal life this person has. And she actually is very, like, she talks a lot about her faith, talks about religion. And her comments, though, are awful underneath her pictures. Because it's a lot, I mean, and of course, it's a mixed bag. But, like, there are some that are just like, I can't believe you came out against your family. You made the whole of Christianity look bad.
Oh, yeah. The abuse that, I mean, generally women get when they speak out about stuff is terrible. But, like, her.
And I thought she actually was pretty restrained.
She was incredibly restrained.
They asked her at one point about, one of the big controversies was the brother. I don't even remember his name. Whatever. It starts with a J.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And anyway, that he had, abused his younger siblings, and they asked her very, I thought a little harshly about it, but I mean, I don't know how long that interview has been going on, but they just asked her, like, do you want to talk about that? And she was like, no.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were waiting for her to sort of talk about it, and she just said she wasn't going to. And so I think it was really, like, tough. I don't I didn't love all the ways the documentary went, especially when they started talking about like how the homeschool movement was like creating this. It got a little militaristic at the end, where it was like they're infiltrating government and blah blah blah. I know a lot of homeschoolers, and I don't think that any of them
are infiltrated for 2 years.
Well, now I've changed my mind. infiltrating the whatever. I got the point they were trying to make, but I think they had a story enough with what they were talking about.
There's a bit of trying to sensationalize some stuff that I don't think needed to be sensationalized. And that's what a lot of media does. I think it's important to keep in mind that documentaries are always biased as well.
Like, oh yeah.
There's a kind of sense that when you watch a documentary, you're getting all of the straight facts from it. And that's not always true, or really ever true. But I thought it was really interesting how she didn't want to talk about a lot of things. And she was like, this is my personal information in my life, and I want you all to stay out of it. And then, yeah, like her, the people accusing her of, she's the reason that, you know, these people are suffering a downfall or something. And like, no, he abused a lot of people, and it was all known before the show, and the corruption was there before, and saying, hey, these people are corrupt. They probably shouldn't be people that we are putting up in leadership. Not that everybody is, I mean, no one is perfect. Leaders are never perfect. Don't idolize anybody. But
give it 10 years, you'll be disappointed.
But like, there's a level of corruption where you have to say, like, you do not have any right to be leading people. And that was before the show even started. So, I mean,
I know. And I think in some ways the documentary became what it kind of hated. It was like, they put them on TV. They romanticized, and then they were trying to make money, and then all of a sudden it's like, and also how all these people are infiltrating the government or something. And it's like, you know, I
let's stick to like what this is can actually say.
Because I do ethnography, like, and some of you may say, oh well, they are, you know, the whatever, there's a whole wing of these groups of, you know, people that they were describing in the documentary that are doing stuff. I think that's fine and that's fair. But because I do like interviews and observation, mm-hmm. it would have been nice to get maybe some interviews. They had one guy that was on there. But I mean, like, I don't know. They had so many people talking about the IBLP. And then that was just, it felt like a caboose that they didn't quite flesh out.
It didn't feel totally substantiated. I think that there are enough obvious white supremacists, and we have a neo-Nazi problem. We don't need to pretend like that doesn't exist outside of homeschooling either. Like, this isn't somehow like, here's the bedrock of those weird militaristic groups. Like address the root cause of these things, or address how it's becoming rampant, not like placing it on like these homeschool groups are trying to start militias. It just felt a little bit
or if you do then like back
yeah back it up more, give me more evidence up. I felt like the rest of the documentary had a good amount of evidence, and then that part was kind of thrown in, and I was like,
yes,
this feels out of left field.
I feel like that's what I want to emphasize. It is not that I do not believe that what they were telling me is true. It's that you spent like 4 episodes telling me all about this one thing. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of went off and spent like half of an episode on this other thing.
Yeah.
And like, it didn't
need to happen, because all of the stuff they were talking about before was bad enough.
Right.
We didn't need more evidence of bad.
I was having a great time.
It was delightful. Yeah.
Two more categories. One is very obvious religious shows about the church.
Mm. Okay, there's a very obvious religious show. There's also a fantasy show, but Midnight Mass.
Yes, I knew you were gonna say it.
Yes. Oh, man, I don't like scary stuff. That was really good.
Yeah,
it was.
I never saw the last episode, but you can
never saw the last episode.
I got the gist.
I thought it was so fascinating because also I thought the way that they had, like, it wasn't just because I heard a lot of people saying this after it was like an indictment of religion. And I was like, that's not what the show was doing, because it was very specifically an indictment of kind of blind following of religious leaders. Because there were a couple of characters who were religious who did not fall into this trap. And one of them was the sheriff, who was Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think it's really important to remember that there were representations of, like, good, devout religious people who did not fall into the vampire cult.
Yeah. Sorry. Guys. That's what it was.
Sorry. Spoilers again.
That's probably why I didn't finish it. I was like, well, I can see where this is going.
You got to finish it, though. It's a really good final episode.
I will.
And then what's his name? Matt Saracen is the only thing I know how to call him.
That's immediately I knew who you're talking about. The guy from Friday Night Lights.
Yes. Isn't here. Yeah, Sweet Matty Saracen. His monologue when he's in the robo is so good.
I don't think I got to that.
Maybe that was. We'll see. Watch the last episode, Leah.
Okay. Just for you.
Leah has a problem with not watching the final episodes of shows.
I know. I should go to. I need to have a therapy session on that. It's really accurate, though. I saw the last of Schitt's Creek with Christy because she got so mad at me because
in March she finally watched it this March.
That one was on purpose, though, because I didn't want it to end. The Midnight Mass, I think I just felt like I knew what was happening.
You felt like you knew. You need to watch it. It's really good.
Okay. I was just by the
yeah, that show is great. And actually there's a podcast that talks about Midnight Mass in depth. Okay. And Kelly Baker, who does primarily work on, like, a lot of kind of ethnographic religious stuff. She did a book on white supremacists and stuff, but she's on that podcast. It's really good. I will have to find the name of it and get it all to you, but yeah. It was a great episode.
So I will pick for mine.
Yes,
one of my all-time favorite shows, which is Rev.
Oh,
so Rev is based in the UK.
And I've never seen this.
It's so good. It's so, so good. If you are clergy, I would almost require it for a MDiv. I did teach Methodist clergy, and I showed so many clips to them that I think they felt they had watched the series. but it's about this ordained minister, I think Church of England, so Episcopalian or Anglican. Okay. And he is in London, and he started off in this kind of cushy sort of country job, and then he gets moved to this parish in inner city London that's basically dying, and this church, and there's so many questions of faith, there's so many questions of the point of it all.
Like, yeah,
especially from a ministerial point of view.
Yeah.
His wife is a lawyer, so she makes, like, all the money, and but she's really supportive, played by the amazing, what is that woman, that actress, is she's British, she's amazing, she was in The Crown, she was Queen Elizabeth for a while. Olivia
Coleman. That's it.
As I yell it, I'm sorry to the listeners. Olivia Coleman is the wife. I can't remember the actor's name, that he is also famous. But he's so great, and they're both so great in it. And you know, there's just it's it's a lot of questions, especially again if you're in ministry or even if you're in any kind of like helping profession that is undervalued. So like teaching, nursing, basically if you were considered an essential worker and you weren't getting paid for it before and you're not getting paid for it now, you probably will like this show because it really questions a lot of stuff, but the kind of key spirit of the show is that he just keeps going. Because it would be easy just to, you know, poo-poo all over it and be like, well, because, you know, there's just one stage where basically they need to make money and they invite a cool pastor in. And he has a smoothie station that he sets up and he moves all the pews around. Like, this is a very traditional church. And he's dressed in like khaki pants and he's like, hey, hope you didn't mind that we moved all the stuff around. It's just a little bit boring in here. Do you want some smoothies at our smoothie station?
And no.
He just walks in. Rev just walks in with like his dog collar, just like depressed. And he's got a screen and everything, you know. So I think any of this stuff, it would be interesting to people. I played it a lot for my seminarians. So
I love it. I'm going to have to check that out.
It's on the BBC, so it's a little hard to get because it's behind a paywall. But I have the DVDs. So
you do? That's brilliant.
I can hook you up.
That's brilliant. Because you know what? I actually just found out.
It's also probably on streaming services. I just gave away how old I was. Anyway, go ahead.
You know the movie Dogma, which is another great example. Apparently Kevin Smith is refusing to put it on streaming because Harvey Weinstein would get money from it, and Kevin Smith doesn't want Harvey Weinstein to profit from Dogma anymore, and so it's not on anything and you can't get it anywhere. And so they're like, if you have it on DVD, consider yourself lucky. And I am devastated because I love that movie.
We have it on DVD.
There we go.
Stuart has it, I think. But yeah, because the Scream series is on the same whatever Weinstein. I mean, I think he had his hand in a lot of things.
He had his hand in a lot of things. But yeah, apparently Kevin Smith is just like, absolutely not. Are you making money off of this movie? So it's not on anything. But
well, good for him for taking the stand.
You know, Kevin Smith.
I mean, we never did think he was a follower of anything. I don't mean that religiously. I mean of society.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're up into 72 minutes. So we're going to end with your category, Christy, which is trashy TV.
Trashy TV. Okay, look. I don't know how it happened, but I recently went into a deep dive and I rewatched the entirety of Laguna Beach and The Hills.
Oh, and you're going to tell me that they are theological.
Well, yes, because look.
No, it's been a while. I should have made that more of an invitation. Please tell me how they are theological.
I mean, no, they're not obviously trying to be. And there's like a lot of nonsense, but I think one of the things, as I was rewatching it, I was really fascinated by both the way that the show like tried to manufacture drama and kind of props up Lauren Conrad as this like amazing angelic person,
saintly figure,
but
the one tier.
She's the good girl. She's the one we should all be like rooting for. But like simultaneously, like rewatching it, I was like, she is, look, I'm sure in real life, she's whatever she is. But on the show,
rich.
She's annoying. And
oh yeah, Kristen was the bad one. She's like the devil.
Kristen was the bad one. But like Kristen was just like living her life.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. And Lauren
and
like,
why
are you doing this? And like, Kristen would be like, I didn't even know you were there.
Right? Like, I feel like Kristen got kind of put into this. And granted, I don't know. Maybe she is. But she got put into this, like, bad person role. And Lauren got put into this good person role.
Yeah.
And the way that they pitted them against each other in that. But, like, also, it didn't work out. Like rewatching it, I was like, there is no way now that I would be watching the show and being like, yes, Lauren is the saint. Like, she is terrible to her friends.
She is. She is.
She I treats do. Everyone like dirt. I was like,
it was the early 2000s. We had a very low standard of what friendship. It was like Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton were our like, this is normal.
It was, again, it was just a fascinating, like, look at how, you know, the kinds of things, I mean, like, we've been saying, the kinds of things that we decide are okay versus not okay, and certain actions that are expected or ways that people decide, like, this is what being a good friend is or whatever. And all of it, I was just like, this is all terrible.
Yeah.
No one on this show
is redeemable.
Stephen Colletti. My love for Stephen Colletti continues.
I did like Low in the on the Hills. I will
no, say. You know what? My rewatch ruined Low for me too. Like, oh no. She's even worse.
Oh God. Oh no. To be fair, again, I haven't seen it in a minute. That's
in ages, I know. I am, like I said, I don't know exactly what spurred this rewatch on, but. But yeah,
I just tell you, I watched 18 seasons of Sister Wives. So I think you're fine.
Yeah, it was, but it was really interesting just kind of like rewatching it and also remembering, because I was always Team Kristen, which Same. Maybe says something about me, but.
Well, we're again, friends. There we go.
I was like, I just don't see why she's being made out to be such a horrible person when Lauren is, she like tells her friends repeatedly that if they do anything to anger her, they're cut out of the group.
Yeah, when her and Heidi got into the fights on the hills, I thought it was a little harsh.
At it moment. Was a little harsh. I mean, Spencer is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. The Kristen can hold a candle to Spencer, but or a rock, apparently.
That's a rock.
Crystals or whatever he's into.
The immense amount of crystals he has at the end is a lot. But yeah,
at least he knew what was happening. He's like, I am a caricature of a human being.
Right. And Kristen Cavallari and Stephen Colletti did a podcast called Back to the Beach recently and talked about Laguna Beach, not the hills. But Kristen said that by the time she got on the hills, she was like, I understood what role I was supposed to play. And I was like, this is so fascinating. Like, here's who you are. Here's what you need to be. But man, Lauren Conrad, not, I mean, again, she's probably a delightful, real human, but in the show, I was just like, she is very mean. I am shocked.
I'll have to rewatch it now. So I'm going to sit on the porch, guys, because it's 100 million degrees outside. So I was initially going to go with the Kardashians, but then because they need exposure. The crickets are doing absurd things. Listen to this. Hashtag the South. Because they need a little bit of publicity because of, like, they're one of those weird sort of reality shows that is turning more, like, it's starting to emphasize more their religious stuff, which it didn't in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that curious and interesting.
Yeah.
And it started with, I think, the Kanye West stuff.
Yeah.
Not the most recent, but, like, when he started doing, like, the Sunday services and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's a whole thing that people can explore on their own. Because I'm, frankly, sick of talking about that family. So I'm going to actually pick 90 Day Fiancé, which I have been. Yeah. And I'm going to specify, because there's a million of them. But The Other Way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So 90 Day Fiancé is kind of what it says, is that these people get visas and basically get visas for their fiancés who to move to these states. So that's the premise of, like, whatever. And it's the K-9 visa, which is basically you have 90 days to get married.
Yes.
However, The Other Way is where Americans go and get whatever visa, whatever country, to get married to someone who is overseas.
Yes.
And I have actually found it to be incredibly interesting because one of the things, and again, they want drama, but two of the places that they continuously go to are the Middle East and India.
Oh, interesting. And, that's not what I was expecting.
there's also South America happens a lot too. But okay. Like, I will say, for drama purposes, I really do think they're picking these places very specifically. Because in India, there's always a struggle with the family structure.
Yeah.
Because the family being so important, specifically the matriarchs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole, like, you see a lot, not only of the countries, but also the religious beliefs. And can I extend my visa if I become a member of the Hare Krishna was one storyline. Oh. Which apparently, by the way, you can't just join.
No, I don't think you can. I think it's more complicated than that.
Right. Yeah. Come to find out, you can't just join this organization just on a whim to get a visa. She actually said it was for a visa, which I don't think helped her cause. But anyway, so it was like a missionary visa. But in the Middle East ones typically, I mean, they're all different, but you see a lot of people basically having clashes of culture and clashes of religion and clashes of structure. And of course you do get that in South America as well. And there's all these kind of storylines, but I will say I've learned a whole lot about religion and the way countries operate with their religions. Even, you know, like Mexico, there's a Armando and other half of Armando. But anyway, they're in Mexico and they're a gay couple and the American's from Miami and has, you know, they both have families and all this stuff and they've kind of met later in life. And, you know, just seeing how that works in these religious people and all of that.
Yeah.
And,
that would be really interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
If you have to pick one of the ones.
I was going to say, I haven't ever watched them, but those would be the ones I would want to watch. Yeah.
So that's my trash TV. I will tell Stuart I'm doing research and he laughs at me. And I think that's rude. And maybe we should just end it. But probably.
I was going to say, now you can tell him that it officially is for research.
It's on the podcast. It's
on the podcast.
On that note, I'm going to meet this man and have ourselves a pint. And
yes.
I think that we've gone through some TV shows. So thank you guys for listening.
Tell
us your favorite of these categories.
Tell us what shows you find theologically interesting or what we should watch.
Oh yeah.
And also watch all of the shows we have now recommended to you.
Yeah, for sure. For all the reasons. And tell us if you're a Kristen or a Lauren.
Yeah, team Kristen or team Lauren. Make sure you vote.
And please tell me what Armando's husband's name is. Kenny! It's Kenny! It's Kenny!
Kenny, okay.
Kenny and Armando. Yes, got it. Okay, cool. Anyway. Oh, and if you want to go to Beer Camp, where we can talk more about shows, get that Rocks
God Pod. And like and subscribe and rate and all of the things. Yeah,
please. We had a really good review and it made us, Christy sent it to us. It was our first review and we got a little teary.
We did. We were
happy.
We both teared up a bit. We really do appreciate all of you. And
she really did send it to me and I really almost cried because I was having a day.
So. It was amazing. Yeah, really. And we really do appreciate all the love that we get from you guys. You guys are awesome. And if you have other things that you want us to talk about or drinks that aren't gross, please let us know about those too.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. This is great.
This is great. Yeah.
This is dangerous.
I'm going to have another one.
Same.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.